You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
MMC Theater's latest production, Schoolgirls, or the African Mean Girls play, takes place in a boarding school in Ghana, where Paulina is the reigning queen bee until new girl, Erica, threatens to upset the status quo. In his New York Times review, Jesse Green wrote, "The nasty teen comedy genre emerges wonderfully refreshed and even deepened by its immersion in a world it never considered." It was written by Jocelyn Buell and is running at the Lucille Littell Theater on Christopher Street until December 23rd. I'm very pleased to welcome to our show now Rebecca Teichman, its director, and actors Mamia Boifo and Nabia B.
Welcome to our show. Thank you for having us.
And Rebecca, congratulations. Since you were last here to talk about directing Indecent, you won a Tony.
I know. Yay. Crazy, but true.
And it's all because you were on the show.
But of course.
Also, I should have mentioned that there is a two-page review of this play in the current issue of The New Yorker. Two pages of total praise, so and analysis, nice. Of course. Can this play be described as a comedy or a satire? It's hilarious, but it is also very serious.
I think one of the great things about it is that it's genre bending, and I think a lot of the future of the stories that are being told to keep us engaged is, you know, going towards that direction, which is closer and closer to the realities that we live, you know.
Which is an amalgamation of everything. It's an emotional roller coaster. You will laugh, you will cry, you would go through every emotion, so.
But also allows you to address serious issues in a way that doesn't feel like you're preaching.
Mm. Absolutely, and I think that's a testament to Jocelyn's writing. She calls herself a comedic writer, but I think that there's more to that. It's just how she writes it. It just comes across this way, and then it'll take you to a left turn.
These girls are dealing with all the pressures of gender, and then we discover later, even in this context, issues of race that plague the outside world. They're in a boarding school. They're in what would feel like a protective environment. Rebecca, you want to talk about that?
Well, first, let me just add, we're running. We just extended to December 31st, just FYI. For anybody who's not here from now to the 23rd. So, yeah, I mean, I think
Until
New Year's Eve, we're going to have a big party.
Yes, we are.
You know, it takes place in a Ghanaian boarding school, all-girls boarding school, and it really is about, I mean, it's about so many things, but about how sort of the idea or perception of what beauty is sort of filters down to every section of a culture and sort of how it affects its youth. And how this an idea that there's a kind of standard for beauty or what beauty should be, just how sort of violent and dangerous that is.
But for women in particular, they're not protected from these kinds of issues and pressures, even though they're in an all-girls school, an all-Ghanaian school.
Yeah, I mean, girls, we are adept at torturing each other in certain ways too. I mean, this sort of, you know, the what we know in this country as the kind of popular girl clique and the outcasts, you know, Jocelyn's really exploring that within this community as well. And as, you know, I think, and she finds terrible pain and terrible humor and deep truth that we all recognize and relate to.
Mamia and Nabia, did working on this play with a female playwright, a female director, and an all-female cast feel a little like being in that boarding school?
Absolutely not. Quite the opposite. I felt like we were a family, like we all just clicked so well the first day. I had known some of the cast members, but others were people I've admired, people I've heard about, and it was just really welcoming. This is only the second play I've ever done in the city, and so I was like, I'm not going to be intimidated by all these like award winners and whatnot. And it was exactly that. There was no intimidation. It was just, it did not feel like a boarding school.
Well, that's what the boarding school experience is intended to be like.
Well, I went to an all girls undergrad college, and They're you can feel the clicks. You can feel the claws coming out. So no, this was completely different.
The energy in the room was actually quite emotionally mature because we shared so much about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like I've never been in a first week of rehearsal for anything in which while we're working through the project itself, we actually got to share so much about ourselves, which made a huge difference in what we got to make on stage and out of stage, most importantly.
Mm-hmm. Can we describe the plot as a kind of traditional stranger comes to town? In this case, it's two strangers, Erica, the new girl, and a former student, Eloise Amponsa, who is now a representative of the Miss Universe pageant. Why is she there?
She's a recruiter searching for a contestant for Miss Ghana. So whoever becomes Miss Ghana, whoever wins that pageant, would then go on to compete in the Miss Universe pageant.
She's also an alumna of the school.
She's an alumna of the school, and she herself is a former Miss Ghana. 20 years earlier from when the play takes place, she herself won. So she's searching for the girl that she thinks can win the contest.
She is the ideal, the girl that went out in the world and made something of herself, or is this something of a cautionary tale?
I think it's a very complicated portrait of a woman who has both achieved a tremendous amount and is sort of full of very dangerous kind of self-loathing, matched with tremendous need and ambition, and sort of having felt rendered invisible by the culture at large. So she's fighting for her place.
And how did the girls feel about her? Was she a former mean girl?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think my character, Paulina, is in awe of this woman. Like, if she could be who my character's striving to be, then this is my role model. You know, she exemplifies everything that my character wants to be. So,
well, you're the queen bee. You're the mean girl.
But I see myself as a mean girl, you see?
Like, yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. Do mean girls think of themselves as mean or someone who's responsible for keeping the troops in line?
I think everyone's just trying to defend
themselves in their best way possible.
And if it comes through as mean or evil, I don't know how aware everyone is of that.
Well, Paulina thinks she's helping the fat girl, Nana, to not be fat by ridiculing her eating habits.
I wouldn't say ridicule. I think I would be, you know, having her be aware that there are other options. We'll call it that.
I think one of the things you see in the play is that driving each of these girls is a tremendous amount of pain, including our queen bee. Mm-hmm. And that what you sort of learn over the course of the piece, what motivates the cruelty. And it kind of is a very strange place as an audience member. It creates a kind of a surprising empathy for somebody who you've watched be very, very cruel. And you're invited to really empathize or have compassion for what drives her there.
And taking it back to, you know, your mention of, is this a traditional storytelling? I think it's okay to come in thinking that it has these pillars, but I think it drives ultimately to the core of like the similarity between young girls anywhere and how these Western ideals of beauty and colorism have infiltrated the minds of young girls everywhere, particularly in West Africa.
It's a universal story.
My guests are Nabia B and Mamia Bofo, and also Rachel
Rachel.
We're talking about Schoolgirls or the African Mean Girls play, which is currently at the Lucille Lortel Theater on Christopher Street and has had its run extended to the 31st. Concepts of beauty are in all culture, but are some of the culture, some of the beauty standards here the result of Western values?
Honestly, I'll be straightforward. I think ultimately we boil down to how colorism infiltrates beauty standards.
When you say colorism, you want to explain?
To use that word. Yes, how different shades and features within people.
It's like a mini racism within the same race.
And since Erica is lighter skinned, mm-hmm. she automatically has certain advantages.
Yes.
Okay. But so this is, there's a kind of a an inherited racism within the...
I mean, I think what Jocelyn is writing about, and tell me if you guys would disagree or would put it in any other way, but is that there's this massive systemic kind of disease that has created a hierarchy of a sense of what is valued and what is beautiful, what has, you know, what is most important. And it's she's really looking deeply critically at the system that has, like, and its massive machine that has put that all in place and that is playing out through these very young lives.
But it's has been imposed from the outside. Would that be the legacy of colonialism or the hegemony of U.S. culture?
I mean, or both.
Mm-hmm. I think they're both connected. Yeah. You can't look at them separately. Mm-hmm. You can't.
Is this school in the show based on a real school? Isn't this there is story an actual, based on a real scandal?
Yeah, Ibri Girls School is still very much thriving. It's one of our top schools in Ghana. And yes, Jocelyn based the story off of a Miss Ghana contestant in 2011 who was actually from Minnesota. And she mentioned that her dad is from Ghana, and there's no proof of it anywhere. But they said that they picked her over the top models in Ghana to compete for Miss Ghana, thinking she would place, and she did not.
Nabia, why does Erica arrive there in her senior year after the school year has begun?
That's up for you to figure out in the end.
She's come from Ohio?
She comes. Yes, but she has come from Ohio.
But does that make her threatening because she's...
I don't think she thinks she's threatening. And I don't even think most girls think she's threatening.
She's valuable.
Honestly, I just think she's a newcomer looking to start over in the best way she can. And she's willing to make herself open and learn from bottom up, from the zero and how to do that.
Paulina claims to have family in America, and from them she hears of wonderful places like White Castle. What do the girls imagine White Castle is like?
They think it's a castle that serves food. This is what they think. This is what I have told them.
And Erica knows the truth.
I know the truth.
Rebecca, you've directed three very different plays in just the past year, Time and the Conways, Indecent, and now this one, Schoolgirls, different in tone and mm-hmm. historical context. How do you prepare for a production?
I mean, it's a great question. I don't think there's any single or simple answer. I can say that one of the great joys of the work that I do is the ability to be in these very, very different worlds.
Does it require research?
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you don't know what you're talking about, you can't trust your instincts. I mean, really, ultimately, you want to get to a place as a director where you can trust that your instincts and your just sort of real, like, fundamental emotional response is on. And if you don't know what you're talking about or the world in which the play is set, then your instincts are probably going to be off. Also, you know, there this piece in particular, it's like, and really everything I do, very, very collaborative enterprise. Mm-hmm. You know, so that there was a ton. It's not like I ever knew. I always walked into that room with tons of questions and desire to explore as a group together. And as Nabia was saying, to kind of invite a real trust in the truth from everybody's perspective in that room.
Did you give your cast homework as you did with the cast of Time and the Conways?
How do you know about that homework?
We talked about the last time you were here.
I don't think we had homework.
Our homework was to memorize 20 pages every night. That was our homework.
We did have a nice little packet full of information to read.
Yes.
That was really useful.
Fully equipped.
One of the reviewers said that she wished that this was a TV series so she could binge watch and get to know all the girls better and see what happens to them. Have you created extra stories for your characters?
In our heads. Yeah. In my head.
Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah. As part of that's, I guess that's the homework we give ourselves. Yes.
The night I was there, there were quite a few clusters of girls, schoolgirls. I don't know whether they were mean or otherwise. Do you think the word has gotten out?
I mean, I think that
because
it's,
this is more than about a boarding school in Ghana. I suspect that kids, and I'm sure boys from boarding schools as well, will see all sorts of things they've experienced.
I think one of the incredible things about what Jocelyn has written and what this astounding group of actors are doing is that it really communicates and is very like shockingly familiar to kids in high school, to older people, to kind of anybody, and that we sort of recognize ourselves in all these different iterations in these different women. That's kind of surprising because we think of them as so far away and so different from us, and actually the play is about, in some way, we all share so much more than we think we do, or than we're invited to believe we do.
What song do the girls sing for their talent part?
Oh, no, that's a surprise. Oh,
okay, no spoilers. I've been avoiding spoilers. But thank you so much for being on our show. And our audience now has the opportunity to see Schoolgirls or the African Mean Girls play until December 31st because it's running at the Lucille Lortel Theater on Christopher Street. Has been extended. A wonderful theater, by the way. I don't know what it's like to be on that stage, but I've enjoyed seeing plays there. My great thanks to director Rebecca Teichman and to Mamie Boifo and Nabia B for coming by to talk about it.
What an honor to be with you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.